Hey guys, welcome to episode 109 of the JV Club with my guest and friend Oscar Nunez. I am super enjoying the Boys of Summer series. I hope that you guys are too. I wanted to first of all throw some shout outs into the podcast sphere. I want to thank Celeste for your wonderful email. I want to thank Brooke and Christina for your Facebook notes, Melissa for your email, Kristen for your wonderful, wonderful email. Thinking about you, Kristen. I want to thank Mark, PJ, and Grimm for your Steve A. Nerdist notes. And hey, Emily, for your Facebook post. I want to thank Mafia, Robert, and Jason for your recent tweets. Always hard for me to kind of keep up on the Twitter shout outs, but I did just see three really, really great ones in a row. And I wanted to thank you guys. Also wanted to acknowledge Shady and Jen and Casey. Just great to see you guys in person at Bridgetown. I had such a great time at the Bridgetown Comedy Festival podcasting Carrie Brownstein. Of course, that episode will become available. I hate to like be a tease about it, but I don't know exactly when it's going to be released, but I think it was a really great show. I had so much fun, and I think it'll make a great episode, and Carrie's the best, as I'm sure all of you already know. I have a couple of conventions coming up, but I can't remember what they are right now because I've been doing a lot of traveling, guys. I also want to acknowledge and shout out the cast and crew and creators of the really fun show that's going to be airing on FX at some point. It's called You're the Worst. I've been working on that. So busy times, but good and great to hear from all you guys. And then the last thing I wanted to just acknowledge is a little bit awkward and clunky. I don't know how to do this in a more graceful way, but it's just something that's been coming up a lot. I don't mean for it to be dramatic in any way, but I get a lot of emails and notes about my podcast theme being used on Playing House, which is, of course, the marvelous Jessica St. Clair and Lennon Parham's new USA show. And I don't mean to make this a controversial thing, but I do mention it in this podcast episode with Oscar, and everything's fine. It was something that happened without my knowledge, and the girls have been so gracious and graceful about it and apologetic, and they've been really giving JV Club a lot of love on Twitter and acknowledging that, you know, they took the song from the podcast and that, you know, they just fell in love with it and that they love the podcast and stuff. So again, I don't mean for there to be any controversy. It was something that was a little weird for me, I'll be totally honest, just because I identify it so strongly with my podcast. But I just wanted to clear the air about that because I do get contacted about it a lot. And so it is what it is. And those girls are great, and stuff like this happens in Hollywood. But, anyway, so that's that. I just wanted to mention that because of the influx of information coming to me from you guys. And also because I do mention it. I just sort of mention it in passing, in this episode with Oscar. So that's that. I feel kind of weird for even bringing it up, but that's what happened. And, I hope you guys are doing great, and I'll talk to you soon. Okay.
Now entering Nerdist.com.
Famous Janet Varney podcast, The JV Club, starring
Oscar Nunez
and
you, Janet Varney. Hey, am I the first guy? I've never heard men on this.
You're the second guy.
Who was the first?
I recorded Steve Agee, who lives like down the street from me.
No way.
A couple of days ago. And you know Steve.
Yeah,
everyone knows Steve. I don't know how you're going to top being a total, and all due respect to Steve, whom I love, who listens to the podcast, fuck up. But I don't know if you can top that. He was like a total rapscallion. Yeah,
when,
I said
when
it.
He was a young fella?
When he was a young
Well, he
yeah.
still is.
Yeah, he still is.
Well, he's
but like
a
he got
fella.
Sent to military school.
I'd send him. Look at him. If you had a son who was like a lovable and cuddly Bigfoot, but yet I would send him. He's a tall, rangy, crazy man.
Yeah.
Where did he grow up?
What if we just, that's what this podcast was. I just recapped his entire podcast.
For the listeners at home, do they listen at home?
I don't know. They might listen in their cars.
I told Ursula before I left them. I said, I'm going to do a radio show. She said, it's a thing. I'm like, so I don't know. But I listen to it on the radio. I listen to your show on the radio. And it seems that you do get off on some tangents. And there, I heard one with the Susie about almonds. You guys were talking about almonds for like a good 42 minutes.
Oh, no. I think that was with Ginger, maybe.
Oh, with Ginger.
Because she was from almond country.
Yes, almond blossoms and meth. Yeah. And yes, stuff. Yeah. I love that. So, yeah, we could talk about AG for his upbringing and his military school.
Oh. Why don't you just listen to the episode?
I will.
Everything you need
to
know.
When is it on?
Tomorrow.
Okay, I'll listen to it. Tomorrow. I'm up to date. I have it right there on my thing.
You are. I love that you listen to the podcast.
I told you I'm a big fan. I listen to you, Pardon, Marin, and I went out and bought Say Hi. Before we were born. Hey.
Yeah.
Yes. Save kittens from the
tree. It's a catchy song. It's very catchy. I have to say, anyone who's on Twitter knows that Jessica St. Clair and Lennon Parham, who have a show called Playing House on USA, shout out to those girls, but they went ahead and just used my theme song. So that was kind of a kooky development.
That's a kooky. They should have asked permission. I don't know about
anyway.
The protocol. Hey, what would you...
My dog just farted. For sure, it smells terrible.
Can't be worse than my dog. What would you consider that style of music?
I guess it's just like alternative.
Alternative, right?
Alternative kind of pop that smells so bad. I'm so sorry. He's not a farter, but I have been giving him, he's on a little bit of medication for his skin, and it smells sausagey. How do you feel about sausage?
I love sausage. I can't smell it from this side of the table.
Great.
So
we'll see if it hits you. If it does,
we'll see.
I might take a break.
My nose is a little stuffy.
I totally understand.
What if we had to take a break because of the, we had to shut it down.
For an hour, just to air it out.
Aboard, just for an hour.
It's possible. You said that Gus farts loud, stinkily.
He's on medication now. He's on Prozac.
He is? Oh, that's right.
Because he gets anxious.
Gussers.
What are you going to do?
You just don't know. With a rescue, you don't know where they came from.
You don't know. And I was away for a while, and he got anxious, and he's 11 years old, and blah, blah, blah.
They're the exact same age, Gussie and Scott.
We're having him put down.
Wait a minute, what?
We're having him.
Are you serious?
Yeah, it's just too annoying.
Oh my God. Totally.
That would be horrible. We love him, but.
I totally trusted you.
That'd be terrible. No, we'd never do that. We told him, you're going to stay with us till you're no longer. So relax. Yeah. He doesn't understand. He doesn't know.
I think that science is working on ways for us to better communicate with animals. You know, there'll be like a weird translation chip that will go into both of your brains, and then you'll be able to communicate with him directly through ESP.
You know, it's tough, and it's tough to have all they want is to be with you 24/7 every single day. You're like, that's not possible.
Right.
But that's how they're wired.
Yeah.
They're like, where are you going? Why can't I? It's like, dude, we're not really a wolf pack. And they're we are a pack.
We for sure are
we
a
should
pack.
Be
yeah.
together all the time. There's no reason to be out of each other's sight. Let's go hunting. Let's come home. Let's sleep. Let's go out. Let's go hunting. Let's come home and sleep.
It definitely helps to have two. Because I've experienced the same thing. Yeah,
absolutely.
It's better. It seems like it's better for both of them.
It's better for
two.
And yet you're the leader. Yet they're like, where is she?
I know, it's
true. Where's that one?
It's true.
Yeah. But yes, it's better. It's better. Basenjis love to be together and greyhounds.
Yeah.
Greyhounds do better and Basenjis do better together.
Basenjis.
Welcome to Dog Talk.
I know. All dogs all the time.
Yeah, all dogs all the time.
If they're in the room, they get talked about. If they're out of the room, sometimes they get talked about because they're not in the room.
Especially the other person has a dog too, like I do. If I didn't, I'd be like, wow, this is weird.
And it's gotten worse too since like now having her and she's a purebred husky. There's like a weird thing that happens when you see another husky owner. It's like you have an inside wink.
Oh.
It's like you're like, hey, what's up?
I thought you were saying that she was lording that over him, showing him her papers. Like, where are your papers? You're not pure.
Yeah. That reminds me, do you have your papers? Because you have to have your papers to do this podcast.
I left them in the car, but I do have them.
Well, I'm going to have to take your word for it for now.
Okay. You mean birth certificate?
I'm not sure. What do people mean when they say papers?
Your documents.
That it's okay for you to be here in the United States?
Yeah.
But were you born in the United States?
No.
Yeah. Where were you born?
In Cuba.
Yeah.
But I have my birth certificate. It's so cool.
In the car?
In the car. No, I got it recently. I think maybe 10 years ago or something. Somebody was over there and came back. or someone mailed that a cousin of my mom sent, mailed the birth certificate. So I have that and my citizenship papers.
Your citizenship papers for the
from
United
here,
States.
From 1964.
Okay, all right.
That's when I became a citizen.
And how often have you gotten back to Cuba?
Never.
Do you want me to say Cuba?
Never. No, yeah. What you like.
Let's talk about that.
Okay.
Do you don't want to?
Yeah, we could talk about it.
Yeah. Is that you don't you don't feel the strong pull?
Yes and no.
When did you come over here after right after you were born? No.
Well, we left I think we left in 60 or something like that. We left Cuba. I was little. And we went to South America for 1 year to Caracas, Venezuela.
Caracas.
And my parents didn't like it. We were there 1 year. And then we went to Boston, Massachusetts. And my sister was...
Similar. Two very similar places.
But they did like it in Waltham. And my sister was born there. And then we were in Boston for like a year. And then we settled eventually in New Jersey.
Okay.
And that's where I grew up.
And what did your parents do, and what prompted the migration?
Well, do you want to hear the whole story?
Kind of. I mean, that is what this is.
All right. Okay.
Mostly, I'm just testing to see if I really think you have your papers.
Okay. So my mom was a dentist, and my dad was a lawyer. And they I was born in Colón Matanzas, which is a province next to Havana. They worked in Havana, and they all went to school to university with Castro. He was in my aunt's class. My auntie is a year older than not a year older. She's like 6 years older. She's the same age as Castro, my aunt. She was in class with Castro. My mom and father were a couple of years before that. And one of my grandfathers was a pharmacist. The other guy worked at the courthouse. He wasn't a judge. He was the judge's secretary. And my uncle, my father's older brother. By the way, my father and my uncle, two brothers married two sisters.
So, oh, wow.
Yeah.
Aww.
So one of my uncles, that uncle, Raul, he owned a ranch. My grandfather had four ranches. He was in charge of one of the ranches. And my dad was a lawyer. And then so in 58 or 59, the revolution happened. This Castro took a yacht from Mexico with seven guys or whatever to Cuba and went through the hill, the Sierra Madre and all that, and gathered and was moved in, was moving the revolution, saying that he wanted to get rid of corruption. And at the same time, there were two other, like, student revolution and another movement. And those two petered out, and the one that continued was Castro. And Batista apparently was very corrupt, the guy who was president. And Castro's like, we want to end corruption. And then the poor people were like, yes, we're with you. And then the other people were like, well, we don't know. Is this real? What are you doing? Who are you? Oh, my God, it's Castro. Castro. Who, by the way, in Union City, like in 56 or 57, tried out. He lived in Union City, but he tried out for the Pittsburgh Pirates to be a pitcher because he was a baseball player.
Oh, my God.
And he didn't make the team. I know. So that's a big joke. People are like, if he made the Pirates, we wouldn't be here.
That's so crazy.
So then my uncle actually went up to the Sierra Madre and was helping him and then with the revolution and Shea and all that. And then Batista fled. And my uncle came down from the hills, and he came to town, and he was sad. And my aunt is like, my mom is like, dude, you look depressed. I thought you would be happy because you were helping this guy. And he's like, he lied to us. This isn't what I don't know what's happening.
Oof.
And she's like, oh no. And then the revolution, they were marching into town, into Havana, and they were like sweeping through the countryside. And he was saying, we're going to get rid of corruption and everything is fine and this is great. And everyone who was poor or had shit were like, yay. And everyone who had stuff was like, hmm. And then reports started coming in from the countryside. And they were saying, hey, just so you know, like when they're sweeping through these villages and stuff, the mayors and the townspeople who are speaking out against them, they're being put in front of firing squads. They're killing people as they come through, and everyone's like, oh shit.
Yeah.
So anyway, so they took over, and he's like, I'm communist. And my father's friend came to my father and said, hey, they made me ambassador to Moscow. Do you want to come with me? and be my assistant. And then my mother and father are like, we don't want to go. We're Catholic. We don't want to go to this. And they're like, we're out of here. And then they're like, the revolution would really like professionals to stay because we need professionals. And they're like, we'd like to leave. And they're like, okay, you can leave, but you can't take anything with you.
Oof.
So they took me and a ham, a 20-pound ham. And they took a boat to South America, and we ate the ham with other people. And then we went to the, now my uncle, who was the ranch guy, armed his ranch hands with rifles. He snuck rifles onto the property in like barrels of oil, and he armed them. And then when the communists said, "There's no private property; it's state property," and they came to take over the land, then he fought with them, and I think he killed two communists, and they threw him in jail for 20 years as a political. He was tortured in jail and all that. We got him out. We got him out in 1980.
Oh.
We got him out in 1980. He died in freedom. At least we got him here.
Yeah.
But that's basically the story. And there's like a million other stories like that. It's a political reason why we came over.
Yeah.
So yeah.
Well, it doesn't. I mean, that's all. That is like. I mean, listen. There's no way for me to say this without sounding like I don't know what I'm talking about, or that my life has been so tame in comparison. But that is pretty dramatic stuff
for my parents.
You know,
I was a kid. I'm like a little kid, and I'm like I grew up here. But I heard the JV Club, and you have lots of people come on and say most of the people who come from other countries have like a thing. It's like, well, this happened, and that's why we're here.
Yeah,
I guess half are like we like it here, and we came. Other half are like we couldn't stay where we were.
Right,
it was really sucky.
Right.
Yeah.
But the impulse to kind of go back there for you to see where this all happened and that kind of stuff. Like some people feel a stronger driving force to like need to sort of bear a witness to that even in retrospect, or just like connect with, you know, that sort of original culture versus other people who are like, well, that's not really a huge, like, it's not a huge part of my life now.
And I think depending on when you asked me, whether you asked me when I was in my teens or 20s or 30s or 40s, the answer would be different. Like, I got to go back. Tell them what's up.
Right.
And now it's like, oh, really? Everyone knows what's up in the world. Who gives a shit? You know, I have to put gas in my car and pay my bills. And that's really my responsibility.
Yeah.
Anything other than that is blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to do? Having said that, yeah, I'd like to go back. I want to go back, and I don't want to get arrested. I don't want to go to a bar and have a shot of rum and start talking shit against Castro and get thrown in jail.
Yeah.
Because I am going to talk shit if I go back.
Yeah.
You know, so it's very sad, the condition of Cuba. And yet it's, you know, people come back and they're like, I was in Cuba and it was great. And I'm like, well, yeah, I guess you had a good vacation and the people there are lovely, but it sucks there. Yeah. It fucking sucks. Yeah. You have no freedom. There's people in jail for speaking their mind and, you know, whatever.
Yeah.
They just did a whole This American Life or something on that pitcher, the Cuban baseball player. I don't know if he's a pitcher, but he plays for the Dodgers, and the way he got out. Did you hear that one?
No, I haven't heard it.
Yeah, he got
out. How did I miss that? Was it this? Are you sure it was This American Life?
I don't know if it was on Fictional or something.
Yeah.
But I think the toast is done. Something keeps ringing.
I think it's you're getting a text.
Oh, I'm getting texts. That's what it is.
You know, I always make toast for the listener.
I need
for the listener for the guest.
I need a new phone.
What if I distributed toast to the listeners? You do.
You should make toast.
Sending out toast. Speaking of, that reminds me of a This American Life episode where it was all about toast. Did you hear that one?
Yes,
in San Francisco. So good.
The girl in San Francisco.
Yes,
who has to be funky so people know where she is.
Coconuts and toast and
dude,
amazing story.
And that's one of those stories. There's a lot of stories that are linear, and you're like, I follow it. This story took such a turn.
Yeah. Yeah, I know.
It was beautifully laid out because he started on like, I don't give a shit about this. There's people charging money for toast. No, that's not what it was about.
Yeah,
It really turned.
That was a really
beautiful,
good turn. I completely agree. Yeah, that's one of those. It's funny because I don't know if you have this or if people in general have this. They probably do. But I have a lot of like, especially if I'm listening to a powerful story like that, I have like a lot of usual bike rides that I do, and
you're a biker. You're a bike girl.
As people know, I am a cyclist. I'm a biker, and that's one where like I remember so specifically where I was when I was listening to it because it's a loop I do a lot. And since I have listened to that episode, now every time I'm at the same part of this hill in Griffith Park. Like I flash to the moment that story turned because
that's cool.
It really was that gripping. And every time I pass it now, I'm like, oh, the toast girl. I hope she's doing great. And for those of you who don't listen to This American Life, it's an episode about this guy sets out to talk about like this toast trend.
Toast
like,
in San Francisco.
People are paying like $4 for a slice of special toast.
It better be good.
Where did this start? I'm going to find out. And he traces it back to this very tiny place in like the Outer Sunset in San Francisco. And he finds out why this particular girl who owns this place, the small, tiny kind of cafe, served toast, and it becomes a story that is about mental illness and about strength and perseverance and like finding ways to cope with the stuff that you are, that's put in front of you and your, you know, your sort of obstacles in your life. And it's stunning.
And it's miraculous on so many levels.
It's on so many levels.
Because you're like, okay, so it's a big dangerous world out there. It's so hard to get through for anyone, let alone someone. She's female. So right there already, that's like vulnerable, right? And then she makes her way through this pretty much in safety. She's alive. She wasn't killed.
Yeah.
This woman could have been killed and left in the gutter so many times. And yet she found her way through somehow and made her way back and then is successful. She's not happy working at a place. She owns the place.
Yeah.
She is an owner of a thing.
And that something like that became like not just like, although I have this problem, I was still able to blank. It became like, because I have this problem, I have to own this place and be responsible.
Yeah.
And I have to, like, it all just like, she's like this perfect puzzle of, it's like the craziest puzzle we've ever seen, but it's like an amazing, perfectly fitting puzzle.
And protected somehow by whatever. And so smart and open. That she would, unlike me, who I reject every advice everyone's ever given me. I'm an idiot. She was open, and people would give her little nudges. Little angels would give her little nudges. She was working at that place, and she's like, I don't know, whatever, blah, blah, blah. And the owner said, you need to open up your own place. And she's like, how do I do it? He said, you buy a bunch of cups of coffee, you get a place, and when the coffee cups get dirty, you put a sign that says close, you clean them, and then you flip the sign.
Yeah.
She's like, that's all I have to do? He's like, yes, that's all you have to do.
It's amazing.
And she did it.
It's so amazing.
Anyone else would have hummed and hawed. She's like, okay, I'm doing it.
Yeah. I guess it is kind of like, because when you have something that is like, that tries your spirit that much, that maybe there's like a fat trimming that happens where it's just like, I just have to listen to these people and like, I have to just try this because you kind of feel like you don't have anything to lose and you know.
She's like, okay, I know this person. I really trust them. Why wouldn't I listen to their advice?
But let me turn that on you and say, what do you mean you don't take advice?
Because like, I know better.
You think you know better?
Than everyone. And nothing would make me do something opposite if you tell me, you know what? You shouldn't jump off that bridge. I'm like, how far is it?
And let's see about that.
And if they say, don't jump off the bridge, I'm like, you what? And whatever people say, I'm like, yeah, I'll do the opposite.
And you were like that even when you were a teenager?
Yeah,
and this probably. Is in Jersey or
what? Yeah, New Jersey, Union City.
And you're an only child?
No, I have a sister.
You have a sister.
Yeah.
I forgot for a second.
She lives in Florida.
But she was born in the United States? Or she born?
Yeah, she was.
Okay.
She was born in Massachusetts.
Okay, and so where were you a high school teenager? You said Boston or Jersey?
Union City, New Jersey.
Union City, New Jersey.
Mm-hmm.
And did you know about yourself then?
Like, this show's about high school.
I mean, you know.
Ursula says
she loves
high school. No, you do. You love your high school. You love the high school.
I like to see how it shapes people. And this is what I'm asking is,
interesting.
How much self-awareness did you have when you were a teenager? Like, it's so, one of the things that's great about getting older is it's so lovely to sort of, you know, be able to look at yourself and say, like you just said, like, listen, this is something I do. I'm stubborn or, you know, I don't take someone's good advice because I feel like I know better. Did you feel like you knew that about yourself when you were a teenager? Or did you feel like you were just right and there was no question about whether it was a character trait? It was just like you knew better.
I think I kind of had that feeling since I was little and it's kind of never gone away. I don't know why. I think it comes from.
Are your parents like that?
Yeah, I think they kind of both are. I remember my mom is a dentist, and I was like maybe 6 or 7, and she would give me, if I got sick, she'd give me medicine or something, and I'd be suspect. Like anything she'd give
me,
I'd read the ingredients, and she's like, "I'm a doctor. I'm your mother. Why would I give you anything?" And I'm like,
That's
and I would.
So funny. funny.
Yeah, I would read the ingredients like, I don't know if you know what you're doing, what you're giving me. Yeah,
that just is really specific.
It's ridiculous.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. Trust issues.
Yeah. Or just like I trust you. I know you love me, but do you know what you're doing? Amazing. Let me see what's in this medicine.
Were you a good student?
No, not really. I didn't fail. I didn't get D's and F's. I got like B's and C's and A's. And I really, really had a good time in elementary school. After that, I went to the wrong high school.
What does that mean?
We'll get to that. Yeah. But I had a really fun time in elementary school. I went to a Catholic grammar school, and it was funny. I wasn't the class clown because we had many class clowns.
Oh.
There were many funny guys.
Yeah.
And I remember bits we did from back then. And that was, you know, peculiar and whatever, but it was fun. I had such a good time with the nuns and all that stuff. Now, when I went to high school, I went to the wrong high school. And that was ridiculous.
Like, what was the high school you could have gone to? Because the wrong one sounds like there was a right one that you didn't choose.
St. Joseph's.
Did someone give you the advice to go to the other high school? And you were like, I'm going to go to the wrong high school.
I went to the wrong high school because my friend Pepe, who was a year older than me, went there. And his brother Felix, and these are like best friends. I've known them since I was 4 years old. Felix went to Hudson Catholic and Pepe went to Hudson Catholic. It's an all-boys school. Why would I go? Mm. An all-boys school in Jersey City, which is like, I have to take a bus. Why? All my friends, everybody was going to St. Joseph's. Everybody. And they're like, dude, you're going to a crappy high school. Why are you going there? I'm like, because I said I was going, and they're going. They go there. And I looked at the school, and it's a beautiful school. But I knew no one there. It's a whole different city. And so they all went there, and I'm like, I'm not sure. And my mother and my sister are like, well, I don't know. What do you want? And they're like, well, both schools are good, but all your friends are going there. And I'm like, I'll flip a coin. I'll leave it to chance. And I flipped.
You're kidding me.
Yeah, I flipped the coin three times, and three times the coin said, go to St. Joseph's. And I'm like, I'll flip it again.
St. Joseph's.
I'll flip it again. Three times.
No.
And I'm like, I'm still going. Why did I flip the coin?
When you knew, obviously, if you kept flipping it, you knew you didn't really want to go.
Well, I don't know. I felt like I had made my, and Pepe talked me into it, and Felix, and I went.
Pepe is such a great nickname.
Yeah. And then.
What was it short for?
Jose.
Oh. All right, great.
And so I went to Hudson Catholic, and the good part was it was Jesuit brothers, and it's a really academically a really good school to go to. And the bad part is it's far away, and I had to make all new friends. I really didn't like it. And I'm like, I should have gone with all my friends that I knew already to St. Joseph's. So I left after my sophomore year. I'm like, I don't want to go here anymore. And my parents were like, well, do you want to go to St. Joseph's? And I'm like, no, it's private. Why waste all this money? I was like defeated. I'm like, I'll just go to Emerson, which is the public high school. And I went to Emerson, where we basically did junior and senior year the stuff I had done freshman and sophomore year.
Mm.
So then I was just hanging out and partying with like a core group of friends.
Yeah.
And I partied
but
a
you
lot.
Didn't know anyone at Emerson?
Yeah, I knew people at Emerson.
You did?
Yeah, I knew people at Emerson.
Yeah.
But not like in St. Joseph's.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you and that was public school, so all of a sudden you were in school with girls. Did that like suddenly mean anything to you, or do you have enough kind of interaction with girls even when you were at the public or the private school?
No, there was hardly no. We had a sister school, but it was it was like being bused to another place, and there weren't many Cubans down there, like Spanish guys who looked like me, so there was a little bit of racism, but the kids were okay. The white kids, some of them were but it wasn't like the popularity that I had in elementary school with my friends. And in St. Joseph's, it would have been a whole different trip. My sister went to St. Joseph's.
Yeah.
But I just went to the wrong place.
So when you went to Emerson, how quickly did you acclimate to that? Like, because you knew some people. So
yeah,
sort of felt all right, this
pretty
feels
quickly.
Like a fit.
Yeah, it was like a fit, but it's a whole different thing. It's not. Public school is not like private school. It's not, and it's a lot more disorganized, and academically it's not challenging because I can't put my finger on it, but it's just the kids. There, you have a lot more kids that are kind of like stupid and a-holes in per class. So it brings the class to a slowdown, whereas a private school, everyone's pretty much on their game. Even the dumbest kid is pretty bright.
Right. Did you feel any pressure at the private school or no? Like academic pressure?
No, it was good.
Right for you.
I liked it. Yeah.
That part of it was right, but the rest, the social part of it, was kind of wrong.
Yeah. It was good because, you know, if there would have been girls, it might have been different. It's Jesuit brothers, and they're very strict. They don't mess around, and they're very smart. And they don't want to, they want to keep you Catholic, but they know that you're smart. So they don't have a literal translation of the Bible. They say, of course, the flood of Noah didn't cover the earth, because they know you're smart. And if they say that, then you're like, no, because they
know that's interesting.
They say, you know what it was? There was a flood, and as far as he could see, the water was there. So he thought it was the earth. So that's how they wrote it. But it's a metaphor for whatever, blah, blah, blah. So you discuss things, because they don't want to lose. So they discuss
that
God.
That sounds pretty cool.
Yeah, they're smarty pants. They're smarty pants.
Did you, and how religious were you? Like, did you have a real sense of the divine when you were in those schools? That sounds snarky, but I'm actually really proud that I said that, because it sounds so lovely.
It's a double-edged sword, because the more they teach you, the more you're not going to be, you're going to question. Mm. If they, but so around freshman and sophomore, they pretty much lose a lot of people. if they're any good at educating you in sciences and all
so
that, you're like, eh, I don't know about that. But, you know, what there's, you know, I don't know.
I wonder how they themselves reconcile that. If you know that you're teaching the sciences and that, you know, you have to, as you said, if the perspective is like, we have to be kind of careful about this, it definitely makes me wonder what that Jesuit brother goes home believing when he says a prayer. Like, what is he real? Who is his God? You know?
I think they say, there's a God, and that's what we care about. And there's God, and Jesus existed, and he felt the spirit of God. And everything else, man has touched, and it's fallible, and we must question it. But that doesn't take away from the fact that there's a God, and you cannot translate the Bible literally.
Mm-hmm. And what about your parents? Were they really religious?
Not my dad. My mom, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Did you guys like pray in the home? Like when I was at my mom's house, we would bless our food and stuff. Like you have to
every
say
night?
You have to say a blessing. You're supposed to say a blessing.
What were you raised?
Every meal. My mom's Mormon.
Oh, okay.
Not so much anymore, but you know, I definitely like when I was with her, that was something that was
important.
No,
we would do
her.
Thanksgiving and then Easter and go to church every Sunday when we were little.
Yeah.
They would take you to church every Sunday.
But you know what I do like about praying, and not to just make this an old religious podcast either, but I do, because I just talked about this a lot with Jeanette McCurdy. But
why are you putting on a habit?
I don't know. I don't know why I'm doing this. I can't stop. I'm kissing some rosary.
You're crazy.
Right now.
No one knows because you guys can't see us.
That's the sound of rosary beads being kissed.
That's right.
But I do like, I was talking with someone about this, like, not on the podcast, believe it or not. Occasionally I have a conversation that I don't podcast. But I was talking about that, like, you know, the gratitude part of praying is so lovely, and that it is this kind of opportunity for people who maybe are not that humble in their regular life, or wouldn't be that humble, or sort of can't connect with the gratitude of it all, or even just the fear, like that religion gives you the opportunity, even as like a CEO, you know, who's supposed to sort of be fearless. And like, if you're living in that kind of traditional world where like you're the father figure and you're earning the bread and da 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 da, I've never sounded more square than when I said that, but that like, where can you express your vulnerabilities and where can you express your tenderness? You know, like fathers who don't really tell their kids they love them, if they have the opportunity to pray for their children, like, is that allowing them access to some emotional part of them that they kind of wouldn't have otherwise?
Why not? I flashed on when you were talking about that. I thought of the scene. I don't know why, but remember The West Wing?
Oh, yeah.
When Martin Sheen would go to church and he's like, what do you want from me? And he'd smoke a cigarette.
Yes.
And he'd like talk to God almost as an equal, but he has to answer to him somehow.
Yeah.
But he's still angry about it. He's smoking in his church and he stubs out the cigarette like defiantly, like a child in front of God. But yes, I agree. Yeah, the gratitude, it's good to be grateful and all that.
And that like praying is a moment to be still, you know what I mean,
yes.
In the world. So whether or not you're into meditating or praying or whatever it is, how do you connect with the same part of your brain that like gets like the synapses are firing when you're in prayer, if you're a religious person? How do you find that as a secular person and like benefit in the same way if you're not looking to, you know, a deity for help or for to give gratitude to?
I don't know. Exercise, being still. I don't know. Because I do get that it just the weird part is, and I think for people who have half a melon for a brain is that, okay, so I, that judgment part, that, okay, I have to be grateful to you. I'm being grateful to you and I have to love you. But if I don't, then there's a consequence. It's like, well, that part is weird.
Yeah,
that consequence part is the weird part.
Very.
If you can leave that out of the equation and just say gratitude for gratitude, say thank you, without the, and I'm being good because I know you
Please
will.
Please don't smite me.
Yeah, you will smite me if I, and I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy, you know, born with original sin, all that. Yeah. They lose so many people with that.
Yeah, that stuff's tricky. The Catholicism, I think, is more, has a lot more of that. And I don't know because I'm not Catholic and I wasn't raised in it, but it seems like it has a lot more like threat and sort of, and I will say that.
And you guys don't.
Yeah, Mormons, I mean, I mean,
most don't. Yeah. Most don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's more, it's a much more positive, like less kind of, you know, judgy.
Yeah.
Kind of the father in that way. It's like a warmer father. Like even the way they pray, they call him Heavenly Father, which sounds somehow very sweet.
It's sweet. It is sweet.
It is.
It is sweet.
Okay, I'm getting back to you in high school. Of course. But what were, you know, here's what I'm going to say. I had a lot of male friends in high school who were kind of more stereotypical boys, where I was like, those weren't the friends I was going to have heart to heart with. And then I had guy friends who, you know, maybe were too much in their head, or they were sort of experiencing life the same way I was, with like a lot of hormones and a lot of need to analyze everything and like write a lot of notes about like how they were feeling and what their heart was telling them and, you know, feeling insecurities and stuff. But what kind of kid were you? Like, what kind of high school dude were you?
I was, I guess, when I went to Emerson, I was popular. I was, my parents were going through a divorce, which I think.
Did that surprise you affected, when they started going through it, or were you like, eh, that makes sense?
I think we saw it coming because my dad was spending more and more time like not at home, and we're like, but I was partying a lot, and that's I guess the way, one of the ways I handled it. I enjoyed partying, but
did you party at
Hudson Catholic?
Yeah, at Hudson.
Yes, but not with the kids there. Just you know, with.
And what do you mean by partying? Like just drinking?
Just drinking and pot.
Just smoke pot, yeah.
Yeah, drinking and pot, and you know, and drugs later on. I guess after high school, yeah.
Oh, after high school, yeah.
Yeah. But I think I might have dropped acid in high school. I don't know.
God knows I did.
Masculine, yeah. Yeah.
Not recommending it, guys. Not recommending
it. No, you can't get it. It's different stuff out there now, so don't even try to find it. It was the late 70s, early 80s, and New Jersey.
What if someone found some acid that was made in the 70s? Oh, my
God. Then by all means, trip away. The New Jersey was flooded with all kinds of drugs going into New York. You know, we had everything, THC, coke, and pot.
Did your parents know that you were partying?
I think my mom might have, but she was in denial. My dad wasn't there.
Yeah.
But I just saw the movie The Wolf of Wall Street, and those lemon Quaaludes, we had those, the 714s. I remember taking 714s.
I haven't seen it yet.
And well, in the movie, he if you take one, if you take two of those things, you're falling on your ass. You are falling. My friend took two once, Roke, and he just fell. He was like standing up, and he fell down, and he was trying to light a cigarette, and we lit a cigarette, and he just was lying on his back smoking a cigarette because he took two. And in the movie, these guys just take like six or seven. It's crazy. Ugh. But anyway, those things were around, and we partook. So that's. That's the kind of guy I was. I was partying. As far as academics, no, pretty much no. Just getting by. Ran track.
So you didn't. There weren't classes where like something just grabbed at you, and you were like, actually,
nothing. Nothing.
Care about this.
I was funny with my friends or whatever, but school was like. Not, I wasn't there.
You ran track and you weren't like performing or anything. You weren't doing theater.
No, nothing. There was no. They were like, well. You know, there was no. I did, and I knew. I saw kids. I saw kids doing plays and stuff, but I wasn't. We would make fun of that, and it wasn't even on my radar.
Yeah.
With the friends that I had, I couldn't go. yeah, I'm going to go and do like Bye Bye Birdie.
Right.
And they're going, well, we're going to go to the parking lot and have beers. And you're going where to do right. Bye Bye? What, are you crazy?
Right.
Have you lost your mind? What's your angle? Are you going to put a bomb? No, I want to do theater and sing. It was just so off. It just wasn't a thing. It just was not a thing.
Yeah.
So.
And what about girls? How do they, you were popular. Did you, like, when did you start having
nothing.
Girlfriends?
I didn't go to my prom.
Oh.
I was thinking about
guy,
that. That was fucking crazy. Yeah,
partying.
Just very dark and weird, and just like, and I would, you know, people like the high school yearbook's coming out, and best looking, it's between that guy and you, Oscar. The girls are, and I had no idea.
Are you serious?
Yeah, and I'm like, I had no idea.
Wow,
that anyone was
that's
even,
interesting.
Yeah, because I had no idea.
My gosh.
I was just not on
but
my.
But did
radar.
You? But did you have crushes on girls and stuff?
It was very weird.
Do you feel now looking back like, oh, I wasn't as emotionally mature? Like I didn't, because some guys mature differently in terms of like wanting to just be around girls or be around women or be sexual or whatever.
I think I was really disappointed in the high school that I picked. And it really angered me that I made that choice. And then after that, I was just like punishing myself, like, ugh, I'm just going to hang out and party with my leather jacket and go to New York City. I enjoy New York City a lot.
Yeah.
My father's friend got me a job as a messenger when I was like 17 in New York City. So I spent a lot of time there.
On a bike or just like running around?
You pocket the money. They give you petty cash and you pocket the money.
Yeah.
And you walk everywhere. Everywhere.
So it wasn't like, I have to have this, like those Mike Messenger movies where it's like, you better beat traffic because you have 5 minutes
that
to get
didn't
to
happen. No, just walking.
You just ambled.
Yeah.
From
I should watch that movie. It was a different time. Maybe it's like that now. I don't know. We were in no particular hurry. You know? But yeah, it's just so not. I was like the guy, maybe in your high school, like the group of guys who were like, they party too much.
Right.
They party too much.
Yeah.
Those guys are messed up.
I mean, I feel like I went to so many parties when I was in high school, but there was a lot of like hookups happening at those parties too. And also like I was going to the more sort of like, well, not always. I was going to say I was going to more like gothy kind of parties, but that's not even true. Like by the end of high school, everybody was just kind of like, I would go to like a jocks party because who cares? And yeah.
The guys I hung out in high school with were like just a group of guys, but I would go to this town called Guttenberg. That's 3 blocks by 3 blocks around where Weehawken is, and hang out with guys from up there. Mike the Hippie, who like you know who he is.
I know. I actually don't know Mike.
But they were, you know, they turned me out to the Ramones, and we would go to concerts and stuff.
I was going to ask you about music, like if that factored it in at all.
Yeah.
Was it like punk rock, like, or just like
rock? It was weird because it was rock, but then sometimes we'd, you know, go to discotheques like on the weekends, and yeah, it was a little schizophrenic.
Did you bust a move? Did you dance?
Yeah, I danced, but again, a lot of partying at the discotheques, a lot of blow.
Yeah,
like, it was crazy. You know, my cousin Eddie would sneak us into Studio 54.
Oh, wow.
When I was like 17 and in the limelight, and it was just nuts. It was nuts.
I was talking to, who else did that? Maybe it wasn't Studio 54, but Zandi Hardig, David Wayne's wife. I hate saying that. Like, she has no personality outside of that. I shout out to Zandi. She's awesome.
Absolutely.
It's tricky, right? That's hard. It's total side note. It's hard when you assume someone knows one person, but they may not know that person. And then you feel like you're identifying them only as the spouse. And that's like a huge pet peeve of mine.
Yeah.
Like when I moved to LA, I so didn't want to be Chris Hardwick's girlfriend.
Yeah.
Not out of disrespect to him, but just I was like, I have to be my own person. I don't want people to just like associate me with someone. That's like an independence thing. And now here I'm doing it. Because I don't always know who knows.
It's valid.
Who doesn't.
It's okay. But yes, I mean. Yeah,
but I just want to acknowledge that on the podcast. Because I thought about that before. Like,
that would be weird.
You don't want to be like, because I know, I think Kulop went through that too with Scott Aukerman. Like, I think she and I both kind of had that, like, no, I'm not just the person who shows up with this person you already know or you know, in the public eye or whatever.
Yeah.
I think
you're right. Because I just put myself in that position. I'm like, yeah, I wouldn't like that either.
Yeah.
That's Ursula's husband.
Yeah. It's weird. But it's tricky.
It's tricky because some people, that's what it is. And you can't get out of it.
Yeah.
You know,
How'd you like to be the, you know what would be worse than all of that, I think, is to be the less famous sibling of someone who's famous. Like, I'm just going to give Chad Lowe as an example.
That's hard.
Like, that could really screw with you.
Yeah, especially if you're in the same field.
Same field, same gender.
Yeah, that's tough.
That would be really hard. What does your sister do?
She's working at a law firm right now in Naples, Florida.
Okay. Why did she end up in Florida?
I don't know. They moved there. My brother-in-law loves Florida, and they moved there, oh gosh, I don't know, maybe 30 years ago or more. They've been there a while.
Some people love Florida.
They let their Cubans. They're supposed to go there, I guess.
Oh, that's
true. It's either New Jersey or Cuba.
That's
true. I mean, or Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's a couple of us out here, but mostly they're in Florida. Just one or two.
Did your parents, I know that your parents, so your parents split up, so did your mom ever remarry?
She dated a guy for a while, and they didn't get married. It just didn't work out. But he was a very nice guy. And,
but he was kind of in the picture, like when you were in high school and stuff too, or?
Was he in the picture when I was in high school?
Or did it kind of just become you and your sister and your mom? I think out of high school.
Yeah. I think out of high school.
How much did she instill kind of Cuban culture in your lives, or was it not really like?
It wasn't, you know, Sunday, 8 a.m., get up for salsa classes. It wasn't, although that would have been cool.
I was going to say, I bet you would have loved that.
They didn't, you know, it was just the food. They didn't go out of their way.
Did she cook and make like Cuban food and stuff?
Yeah, because that's what they did. But they were all about assimilation. They weren't like,
if you leave a place that you're, yeah.
Yeah.
Unless you're like fiercely sort of like, I want to protect the Cuba that I took with me in my heart that I couldn't have there versus like, let's get out of there. That's not the place we want to be anymore. And that's not, we're about this now.
Both things are true because you're not, we're not like, like Mexicans have a different relationship with the United States. Like, oh, this was our country, then our stupid government sold you the land, and then now it's over. You know, it was our land, and we were invited. We were giving refuge in this wonderful place that took us because our shit got all messed up.
Right.
So we're grateful.
Right.
We're not like, you're the man, and we're like, it's your language, it's your place. This is what we do.
Gotcha.
We're doing what you do.
That's an interesting perspective. That makes a lot of sense.
Yeah. And we're Cuban, and you know, we do that too, but we are here. And
yeah.
We, you know, we got to get the papers in order. The papers. We got to get documented. We got to do the thing. We got to do the American thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What, this is good. This is so specific, but like when you would go to New York, what appealed about it? Like, what appealed about it? Was it sort of the busyness or like the idea of possibility, or was it?
Well, first of all, you're right across the river from across arguably the best, greatest city in the world, and you know this. You're like, that's New York. It doesn't get better than that. So everything's there. Everything's there. Nightclubs, museums, concerts. And I was always like trying to drag my friends over there a lot. Sometimes I went by myself to concerts or just to hang out.
Yeah.
But many times I went with my friends and we'd go, you know, from the village I saw a bunch of concerts there. This was back at the time when they were used to give free concerts in the park,
that's
in Central
so
Park.
Great.
Yeah, I saw
that
the cars
still happens
there.
Every once in a while, right?
Still. But after Diana Ross, there was a little bit of a riot and they said no more.
I see.
So.
Yeah.
But,
When did you become interested in performing, in theater and comedy and stuff?
I always liked, I was just funny when I was in elementary school and in high school, and I always appreciated funny people and, you know, followed, you know, shows on TV and all that stuff. And I always had that in the back of my head. I'm like, I like it. I like being funny. I like funny. Then after high school, and after I went to FIT, the Fashion Institute of Technology, and you know, I could go back and cover that.
Yeah, we need to talk about how that happened. Wait a minute.
Well, but after,
drop that bomb.
Okay, but after that, I did a couple of I worked around town in a couple of factories and just a couple of other jobs, and And we tried to sneak on an ocean liner once and get out of town, a freighter, but we got caught. And so my mom eventually...
On a freighter?
Yeah.
Not even on like a luxury ship?
No, you can't sneak on a luxury ship. Yeah. But
Being on a freighter sounds so hard.
We're so happy. We got caught by security. We were drunk and we're so happy we got caught by security.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. And our friend who was waiting by the car said, I thought I'd wait for you guys because you assholes weren't going to sleep. It was like seven of us who were riding around getting drunk. We're like, this town sucks. Let's go to Hope. We're going to hop a freighter. And like five of us got out and we're like, there it is. And we're like running to the freighter. God. And we're like near the gangplank. And security's like, what are you guys doing? And we're like, we want to get out of here, man. Get the fuck out of here, you assholes, before we call the cops. Like, we can't even get out of town on a freighter. And we went back and my friend was waiting by the car. I was like, yeah, I waited for you guys. Anyway, and then later on the ride home, we're like laughing. We're like, what would we have eaten?
I know.
Where was the freighter going? Horrible. Where was it going? Oh, it could have been going to Alaska. Yeah. But anyway, that's what we did.
Yeah.
Date girls, no. Let's go get on a freighter and get the fuck out of here. We'll show everybody. But so my mom's like, look, you have to do something. I'm like, yeah, I have to do something. And I was going to join the Merchant Marines. My friend backed out of it, the Peace Corps, no. And then my mom's like, go and be a dental technician because your cousin Boopy has a dental laboratory.
Sure.
His name is Julio. And by the way, these are all real nicknames from my childhood. Tati, Tito, Tutti.
Amazing.
Tito is my cousin Eddie. Tato, I forgot that one, was my dad's nickname. Tati was my friend's brother and Tutti was another kid's brother. Anyway, all real Cuban nicknames. So I'm like, yeah. So I went to dental technology school 2 years, became a dental technologist, got out, and then started working as a dental technologist in a dental laboratory, like in a lab, like making teeth with a lab coat. And I did that for 6 months, and I'm like, why am I doing this? And then that's when it hit me finally. I'm like, well, the run of like working in factories and just being like everywhere I go, every job I've had, I'd start out really good. Like, he's going to go places. And like in 3 weeks, I'd get bored and start like, what happened? You had such promise.
Yeah.
And I would just get bored and like, why are you doing now this stupid thing? So I'm like, okay, what do I really want to do? And I'm like, well, what I really want to do is comedy. But I didn't have the guts to say it yet. I'm like, oh, I want to act. So I went and I went to a newsstand and I got Backstage West and I looked at like acting classes and I called up and I said, I want to be an actor. And I went and audited the school and I started taking acting classes in New York City.
And how old were you at this point?
I want to say mid-20s. So like mid-20s. But
I have to get back to FIT.
Oh, FIT happened because I was like 17, 18. I was in high school and I'm like, well, we're going to graduate. What am I going to do? And I'm like, I don't know. And my parents were getting divorced and I was just, no one ever really said, what college are you going to? It was kind of nebulous. And so I'm like, well, I'm going to go to FIT only because cousin Eddie was a model for this guy, Don Robbie.
Everything I'm hearing right now.
Who was a designer for Pierre Cardin.
And this is amazing.
In New York City. So I would go visit Cousin Eddie at Don Robbie's office, which was 1221 6th Avenue, which is a big skyscraper. And it was like on the 22nd floor. And
big time.
Yeah. He was a designer. He loved Cousin Eddie. And Cousin Eddie must have been, so if I was 17, 18, 19, 21, like 22, 23. And you would get off the elevator at Dan Robbie's offices, and when you stepped off the elevator, everything was pink and gray and like like a discotheque, a fucking discotheque. I'm like, amazing. This is crazy. Who works like this? And then the receptionist was crazy and everybody's fucking beautiful. And I'm like, I'm here to see Eddie. And she's like, Eddie's through those doors. That's Dan Robbie's office. And I open the door and there's Cousin Eddie and there's Don Robbie had a big bed in his office.
What?
Not hidden in the middle of the room.
What?
Big, and everything was silver and mirrors and Cousin Eddie's on the bed and all these guys are around. I'm like, what the fuck is happening here? And Cousin Eddie got up and he's like, Primo, come here, cuz. And he goes, everyone. I remember like Don Robbie was there and a bunch of guys and he's like, this is the biggest homosexual in Union City. my cousin Oscar, and they're all like, woohoo, clapping, and I'm like, no. No, no, and he's like, nah, 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 and then he's introduced me to them. He's not gay, by the way.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, and I'm like, oh, I want to do this. This is crazy. This is the best.
Sure.
So I could draw. I could illustrate. So that's what got me into FIT. I had an interview, and I went, and my portfolio got me in. And
that's great.
Yeah. And then I got in, and I just couldn't do it. I didn't care about, like, sewing. I never took sewing in high school because, as you know, I was in the alley.
Yeah.
So I got there, and I was hanging out with people way older than me, and the school's very fast-moving, lovely, wonderful school. Mm-hmm. You know, Calvin Klein went there. And
yeah.
It's a great school. And so I lasted, like, a semester or two.
Yeah.
And then, you know, dropped out of that. I went to Parsons for, like, a semester and took writing. And
God, it really is just a classic case of, like, you're well-intentioned, like, the person who wants to feel enthusiasm about something, who's like, maybe this is my thing.
Yeah.
But like, always kind of knowing, like, oh, this isn't
no,
my thing.
It's not. Because nobody said, you really need, people were like, stop, you know, stop fooling around. Life right. isn't a joke. Instead of saying, you're really funny, go do this.
Yeah.
But that's the road. Yeah. That's the road that happened, you know?
Yeah.
But,
And when you decided to be to take the theater classes and stuff, like, how did your was your mom like? Oh no, or was she like, okay, you finally sort of?
Yeah, she was like, oh, they gave up a long time ago. As far as like, they're like, okay, what's next? What are you doing yeah. now? What's going on now? But my I stopped dental. I stopped working as a dental technologist. And I worked at Bloomingdale's eventually, but before that, I think I started working. Selling yogurt from a little cart, like in New York City. I answered an ad, and this guy had frozen yogurt, and he had like little push carts, and so I was doing that, and it was like kind of fun because I was like in front of a what's the hotel on 59th Street? Oh, I'm blanking. Well,
like where you go for tea, the what's-its-face that's not there anymore?
The Plaza. You know, but yeah, across from the Plaza where FAO Schwartz is, that used to be General Motors Plaza. Mm-hmm. Now it's something else. Now the Apple store is there. But mm-hmm. back then, I think it was General Motors Plaza, and that's where my little cart was. That's where my thing was. And I would go there, and I would sell frozen yogurt, and it was fun. I was on the street, and there was like this homeless lady who would come around, and I would... Or did that happen in D.C. when I lived in D.C.? No, I think this was in New York. Or in D.C.
Wait, when did you live in
I don't
DC?
Know. I don't know. At some point. But I would try to give her a frozen yogurt popsicle stick, uh-huh. and she wouldn't take it. She's like, no, no. And then I'm like, oh, okay. But she would go through the garbage, like right there. So I would go over and place it on top of the garbage, and then she'd go and take it.
Oh.
And that was the little thing we did, because she wouldn't take it from me. And then there was a Greek guy who had the concession of like 5 hot dog carts around that area. Filthy, filthy fucking hot dog carts. And I had my clean, nice... And he saw that I was a hard worker, and he would come over and he'd go, how much you make? How much you make? And I'm like, I don't know, man. He's like, you make more with me. Come with me, you hard worker. Come with me. Come. And he would always keep bugging me.
Yeah.
George was his name, and he was 4'5" and mm-hmm. like swarthy. And finally he broke me down. I'm like, okay, I'll go with you. So I quit the nice yogurt guy, and he's like, you're making a mistake. I'm like, I don't know. He won't leave me alone. And then I worked for the Greek guy. And then he had like 5 different stands, and a lot of them were like old guys, older immigrant guys like him. So those carts were kept way on the west side by the river, on the Hudson River, in like the piers, like the garages.
Yeah.
That's where they kept the hot dog carts yeah. and everything. And they had a garbage can, like with a hefty bag full of sauerkraut, and you would take the sauerkraut and put it in.
Oh, God.
And the hot dogs. But you had in the morning, you had to load it up and go up there. But the old guys couldn't push their carts with all the cases of soda. So they would load up my cart with like cases
oh,
and
no.
cases, yes. And I'd be like 6:30 in the morning
That's
pushing
what George
this.
George wanted. He saw his opportunity for a mule.
And I'm like, what am I fucking? I'm pushing this fucking thing. And the taxis are driving by, beep, beep. And I'm like, get the fuck around me. It was awful. And then I would set up, and then I would sell hot dogs. And my sister and dad came to visit once, I remember. And I'm selling hot dogs like one of those guys. And my father was like, Oscar, like it was the end of the world. He was so disappointed. And my sister was like, this is cool. So anyway, after I did that for a while taking acting classes, and then eventually I went to Bloomingdale's. Bloomingdale's was hiring, and it was lovely. The original Bloomingdale's, I was working there. And then I auditioned for an improv troupe, Shock of the Funny, in the Village. And I got into that. But before that, I was doing theater for the New City too. So that's how I started, like in my mid-20s. And I was doing improv in the Village and sketch comedy.
How fun.
Yeah.
God.
Yeah, it was fun.
What a crazy road to get there. I love it.
And in there, yes, I lived in D.C. and then came back to New York at some point.
But what seemed appealing about D.C.?
I think I went because there was a girl. I was doing children's theater.
Oh.
This stupid children's show, and we were touring, and we were in the Smithsonian, and I started dating this girl who worked there, and then she's like, come down anytime, come live with me, and I'm like, and I went back to New York, and then I'm like, yeah, maybe I will, and then after a couple of weeks or something, I moved down there, and I'm like, hey, I'm here, and she's like, what, and I'm like, I'm here to live with you. She's like, I don't know what I was saying, and I'm like, oh, all right, I'm here anyway, okay, so it's okay, no hard feelings. And then after like a week or two, she's like, okay, you're not dangerous or whatever.
Right.
I don't know how she found out because you couldn't Google people back then. And I ended up being there 3 years.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then my friend called me up from New York and said, we have a play. There's a part for you. And then I went back to New York and lived with my dad. And that's when I found out he was gay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Oh.
When I lived with him. It's a lot of stuff here.
It is. It's so fascinating.
It's crazy.
So you found out, like, did he actually come out to you, or did you figure it out because you just put the pieces together?
I was living with him when I came back from New York, and
that doesn't necessarily mean he's going to tell you. Like, it could
he didn't tell me.
You.
But we have the same like first name, like Oscar.
Yeah,
and there was like,
thank you for telling me what your first name is.
Yeah, his name is Lazaro Oscar. His middle name is Oscar, but a lot of people call him Oscar.
Yeah.
And there was like a letter in the mail, like Oscar Nunez. And I'm like, oh, it's me. And I opened
that's
it.
That's how you found out?
Yeah. And it wasn't
Whoa!
Me.
Whoa. Yeah. Was it sexy?
Yeah.
A sexy letter?
Yeah. From a sad, fat guy that he raped.
Oh, no.
I don't know. And the guy's like, I enjoy your humor. I love you. And my dad didn't like him.
What did you confront your dad? What'd you do?
No, I went and told Pepe and Felix, my friends that got me into the wrong high school. And I'm like, dude, I read this letter, and Pepe's like, and Felix, his older brother's like, Oscar, you're the only one who didn't know. The whole town, everyone knows. And I'm like,
oh, wow.
And then I'm like, oh, of course, I see it now. But anyway, yeah. But my dad was never, he never came on. He was always unhappy.
Oh, no.
Yeah, yeah.
But so obviously he never remarried. Was he just like a bachelor?
He was living with his lover, Pedro. I just like saying that sentence.
I totally get it.
And they were both like divorced with kids. But my dad never could confront it. And he, you know, was alcoholic and just really sad. And like, oh, just guilt just messed him up.
That's too bad.
Yeah, it's horrible. It's horrible. Yeah.
But your mom knew. Did you ever talk about it with your mom?
My mom, eventually we did. Yeah. We were when I was in high school during that time, and he wasn't there a lot, and I was partying a lot, and my dad would hang out with this guy, and he's the guy who got me the job as a messenger in New York City, and we would go to the guy's apartment. He had a full-on awesome bachelor pad with a zebra skin rug and a grand piano, and he would invite the family over. My mom and that guy and my dad were having an affair, and you know, my mom was like, huh, something's going on here, and she said to me that my dad said he was working late a lot on Fridays, whatever, and she's like, okay, whatever. One day she called up the office, and she's like, I want to speak to Lazaro. Is he there? And they're like, no, the offices are closed. She's like, no, he's working late. And they're like, no, the offices are closed. We don't work late at this day. And she's like, huh. something's going on. And and one day she just like, I just have a feeling. And she took the bus to New York and she was going to go confront him about it. And she was walking down the street to go to the office. And she stopped on a corner to cross the street to go up to the offices. And she looked across the street and he was there crossing the street. And they both looked. And the other guy was on the other corner. The three of them were on the corner.
Oh my God.
And they all three looked at each other. And she's just like,
oh my God. Boom. Wow.
She's like, wow. And then they all met on the corner. And she's like, what's going on? Whatever. And Ernie said, I don't have a dog in this fight. This is between you guys. And he turned and left. And my mother and father went to have lunch. My father's like, I'm between a rock and a hard place. And she's like, yes, you are. You need to get out of the house. Oof. And that was it. And
what a story.
She went to see a shrink once. Mm. And the shrink told her, you need to do one thing, accept reality. Mm. And she said, thank you. And she never went back. And she pretty much raised me and my sister. We went from high school on.
Right.
So, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. Ask. I didn't know that.
Yeah, so that's what happened. Yeah.
Yeah. I feel bad for your pops.
Me
wish
too.
He would have been able to.
I wish too, because everybody was okay with it. No one cared. Yeah. Nobody gave a shit. It was just him and that Catholic.
Yeah.
You know, upbringing thing. Oof. But what are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
What are you going to do?
I'm not going to sell hot dogs.
No.
You can always go back to selling hot dogs. I want you to feel comfortable that you can always
go back
to selling
hot dogs. I had a lot of fun doing hot dogs. I got laid a lot.
You did?
Oh, yeah. I could spin a yarn.
Well, you're definitely interacting with people. Like,
you're interacting.
You're very charming.
And I was like, I'm taking acting. You know, I was.
Yeah.
And so.
You're making it happen.
Yeah. In your 20s, you could do anything.
Yeah.
You're in New York City.
Amazing. All right, I got to get into MASH. We've been at this an hour, if you can believe
That's it. The show's over?
I got to get into... Well, listen, this takes some time.
Wait, boys do MASH?
Yeah. What, am I not going to do it?
I thought you had something... did Steve Agee do the MASH?
Yes.
All right, nothing. Boys and girls.
It's super masculine.
You know what, Oscars? 2014. Get with it.
2014, you're playing MASH just like everybody else.
I thought you were going to have us do another... What's the male
like
equivalent?
Shooting hoops?
No, that knife game with the... Were you...
No, I still got to mash it up. I got to mash it up.
Go ahead, mash it up.
The first one is you own a small company of street vendors. You own a cart company. You don't have to work the cart, but you can if you want to. So let's say you have four, and I need to know what you make available to the public on street corners.
Look how you weaved.
I know.
So wait, just
so it
one
could be hot dogs, could be yogurt.
It's one product.
Anything. Yeah, one specialized sort of like.
Oh man!
Like, what would you want to? What would you want to make available to people on the street?
I don't know. I love hot dogs so much.
Maybe one of them's hot dogs.
It's been done to death. Can I not think of something? something new. What do I really like to eat? I'm not going to sell fresh fruit to people. That's crazy. What do I do? I'm going to go with, boy, it's just so, I don't want to say hot dogs. That's what I really want to, do.
What if it's a non-filthy hot dog stand?
But they have those. They have those nature things.
Right.
What do I sell to, where I'm selling something to people.
Yeah. Because, you know, this is a question I secretly in the back of my mind, I'm thinking about what my answers would be. So I was trying to think like, What is something that's like fun to snack on outside when you're walking around in New York that I can't, that's like not really available? Like I always like the smell of those roasted nuts, but I don't necessarily want them because they're kind of like sugary and stuff. So then in my mind, I was like, I think it would be cool to have like a trail mix cart where like you could just grab some different scoops of different kinds of trail mix.
And that's going to be my parting gift, my gift bag. For this service, this is not going to make money. This is so not going to make money. But I'm going to have it in Chicago and in New York and in LA, in big cities, in the downtown area. It's not going to make money, but I'm going to just put it out there for people. Mm-hmm. Shampoo and quick quaffing, maybe short hair. And your parting gift is a trail mix. But if you're walking on the street and your hair is messed up and you're like for a meeting, we're going to have carts out there with a portable little shampoo thing. You just throw your head back. We shampoo your hair. We dry it. We blow dry your hair.
Amazing.
We get you out of there quickly with a trail mix bag.
Quaff cart with trail mix.
Oh, we're so filing for chapter 11.
Quaff carts with trail mix, but you still have to come up with two more.
Oh, two more?
Yeah, because it's going to be a process of elimination. You might end up with a quaff cart, or you might end up with something else. So if you want to add hot dogs to this, I want you to know I understand.
All right. I want people to come to it. This is a cart where you stuff your own sausage.
Great.
So stuff your own sausage on Monday, and that's all you do. You're on your way to work. Give me 10 minutes. You're crazy. I'm going to be late for work. Give me 10 minutes. I promise it'll be worth it. You're going to stuff your own sausage.
Great.
Here's a cup of coffee. Go to work.
Great.
Now, on Wednesday or Thursday or Friday, come back and you'll eat that sausage.
Great, great.
Because I know you don't have time to stuff the sausage and eat. That's ridiculous.
Great.
But just stuff the sausage on Monday. It's called stuff the sausage on Monday.
Great.
You stuff the sausage on Monday. You come back during the week and we have in a bag. It's your sausage that you
great.
Stuffed and you have it for lunch.
Great. What's number three?
Okay, so stuff your quaff.
I mean, I'm really making you exercise your improv muscles right now.
Yeah. Monday, the first card is quaff you.
Yeah.
The second one is stuff your sausage on Monday. Again, these are failed. I'm never going to – who's going to give me money for this? Okay, the third one, let's make money. I got to do something.
All right.
Let's sell healthy hot dogs.
Great. Healthy hot dogs. Love it.
Organic with organic sauerkraut.
Great.
And organic chili.
Okay, perfect. Okay, next question is going to be three. I'll go three skills, any kind that you wake up with tomorrow and you're amazing
piano,
at.
Piano, didn't even finish speaking.
Great. What else?
Piano better.
Wow, I see what's happening.
Oh, I love the piano. I can't play it. Okay, let's pick another one. Let's pick another one. An amazing skill. Okay, I really love piano, so that's it. But I'm gonna do one. I really, really want to do like professional, not messing around, not like a guy who could speak quickly, like a real like the best auctioneer, an auctioneer talent.
Okay.
Hey, so piano
sounds
player.
Like you're already there.
Piano playing.
Hey, dong dilly, dong dilly, dong dilly.
But the
piano better, an auctioneer.
Piano's a beautiful thing.
It is a beautiful thing. What about like a variation of a piano, like a harpsichord?
You're right, kiddo. Take off it, piano once. That's my first one.
Uh-huh.
But let's do something else. Let's do something else. Oh, guitar. Everybody does guitar. Xylophone is neat for 5 minutes. Then you're just annoying, right? Then you're just annoying.
What about like... trumpet or something that's just like,
oh,
how does he know how to play the trumpet so
that's
well?
Not bad. Yeah. Okay, that sold me when you did the sound effect.
Like, guys,
piano, trumpet,
guys,
auctioneer
for dinner.
Piano
and Oscar will play the trumpet.
Piano, trumpet,
dinner.
Auctioneer.
Great, 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 great.
He's gonna play the trumpet from across the street.
Because
that's when it's
here's a set of earplugs for everyone.
I don't want to be in the same
going
room.
Go into the backyard. He'll go across the street.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a drive-by. That was him? Yeah, that was him.
Oh, I thought that was someone's car horn. No, it's just Oscar. No. You can hire him to play trumpet as your horn for like an hour at a time. Amazing. I got to go vacation homes. Three vacation homes anywhere in the world.
I know you've said this because I listened to the show. Boy, those that's tough. Three?
Mm-hmm.
Well, gosh, I mean... You know what? You have to go Paris. And just let me get that out of the way. And I'm going to do Manhattan somewhere around the park. I really don't care where.
Sure.
Somewhere around Central Park.
Sure.
Somewhere around Central Park. Do I want that? Yeah, of course. Of course. Sure.
What was the
I'd say
pause.
The Dakota, but I don't want to walk outside and walk past that every day. What was the what?
Oh, I just didn't know what you paused, like why you were suddenly like, do I want that? Yes, I do.
Oh, because I was going to say townhouse in like the east side in the upper 50s.
Mm-hmm.
No, the park. I want to view the park is fine.
Right.
That's beautiful. And we have Paris. Now I feel, and I know I was hearing the one where you were talking and your mixed feelings about tropical places.
Mm-hmm.
But
it's a good mix because right now you have two bustling cities.
I do, and I have Paris, and I can go anywhere. You know, I could say London, but no, I can go to Paris. So I'm going to do the Richard Branson thing. I'm going to go
Heavier on Island?
Turks. Yeah, yeah. A big place on an island. I don't care where the... do I want Maui or do I want to go to the Caribbean?
That's a good question.
Oh, I'm going to go Caribbean.
Okay.
Just because I think stuff is happening that I have no control over in the Pacific, and we're all going to have to check ourselves. They said, Bill Maher said to this guy, who knows, Bill Maher says, you know, every New Year I have a ritual where I perform in Maui and I go swimming in the beach. Is it a problem with this radiation leaking? And the guy said to him, not this year. Next year we're going to have to revisit that. Oof. Because of the radiation thing from Fukuyama and all the pollution.
Right.
So anyway.
Popping down to the Caribbean and shit.
So let's do the Bahamas or something.
Understood.
Yeah.
Understood. all right. This is a new one. I don't know where this came from just now. But this isn't something you have to do forever, but you have to be a teacher. I don't care if you have the skill now or not. Like, you could tell me piano teacher is one of them. But like, if you had to teach someone else something, what are three things that you wouldn't mind like being an instructor for, even if you're not really?
I just want
to
stop and say that the first two were like a coif, a shampoo your hair, and then the one for like vacation. All of a sudden, I'm serious. Like, no, Geographic, cause that's what's gonna happen. And the other two I can fuck around, but this one I'm taking to Janet. Yeah. I'm concerned about
really
radio. Could happen. So I wanted the currents will bring pollution to my house. Why? Okay, what's the thing?
Thing is, you have to teach someone else something. Like, for a very brief time, you're like a scuba instructor, or you're a piano teacher, or you're a dance teacher. Something that you have to be able to impart that knowledge to someone else, whether or not you have the skill for real.
Oh my God, I was going to say something, and you informed my answer, because I was going to say, like, something serious, like I really want to like oceanography to someone, or something useful like that, you know. But when you said dance teacher,
yeah,
how much fun is
I
that?
I know, it's just very I'm easy out of for shape. Me to picture.
And the best part is, I can go like I can wear tights,
yeah,
and put like a sweater around my neck and a cane, and yell at people who are really in shape. You're doing it wrong. Plie higher, Samantha. You are disgusting. Leave and come back when you can. I want you to turn and not actually do it. I'm just yelling at them to do things that I can't do and never have been able to do.
Okay, dance instructor. What else you got?
Oh, how many? What do you mean?
Three. You know how it goes.
Oh, three teaching three things. Oh, boy.
It's a process of elimination. You know
how
this works.
I'm going to be exhausted after I teach dance. Where am I going to...
You might not get that one. You might get one of these other ones.
Okay. Dance instructors, one. This one's serious. Writing, like, let's say at Columbia.
Great.
Teaching kids how to write novels at Columbia. What could be more fun than that?
Gorgeous. Those young, fresh minds.
Yeah.
Gorgeous.
And it might as well finish it up at Oxford or Cambridge teaching English history. Yes. English history.
Okay. I'm going with the perennial classic, three foods that you can conjure up at a moment's notice with no physical ramifications of any kind.
This one I have thought of because I listened to the JV Club.
Favorite.
Summit Pizza, Union City, New Jersey.
What kind of pizza?
From Summit Pizzeria.
Summit Pizza, okay. Great.
Now the other two. Really, really, really good chocolate cake. Boy, how fast am I going to get sick of that?
Oh, no, but that's part of it. You never get sick of it because that's part of the good thing.
Go ahead.
Really great chocolate cake. Yeah.
And I'm going to say just paella, really good paella.
Do you know how to make paella?
No, it's a long process.
Right?
Yeah. It's a long process. Do you like it? Do you
eat? I haven't had that much paella, but I feel like I have not disliked what I've had. Yeah, I do eat seafood.
Okay, we went to Republic the other day.
I really crave seafood.
We have to go out again.
Yeah, for sure.
Okay.
I hope they have a water tasting at the next place we go.
We were there the other day and we're like, we should have had the lunch help. We were there the other day and we saw the guy and we're like, that should have been our waiter.
Yeah.
But we still had a great time.
We did have a great time. That was a great dinner. Great dinner. okay. That made me want to come up with a new, I'm really feeling now because you're stretching with the improv. Now I feel like I want to stretch and come up with some interesting categories. I want you to pick three museums that don't exist. Like, what would be a fun, three different, like, fun museums that you've never been to, but that would be, like, the history of the piano, or, like, this is a museum just filled with puppies, or whatever. Like, what would be a fun, weird museum?
This one's not going to be very big, but I like these things, and I like them. And at the end of the museum, they measure you, and they give you a pair to leave. Museum of Shoes.
Great.
History of Shoes.
Great.
You know all about shoes from the clog in Holland up to...
I would go there. That sounds great.
Yeah, up to the guy in New York City who said, hey, you know what? Our feet are different. Let's make... Because shoes were the same, left and right.
Yeah.
Some guy said, left and right, let's make them... And everyone's like, why didn't we think of this before? Because everybody was wearing the same stupid shape.
I love the shoe museum. What's next?
The shoe museum...
We could call it a shoe-seum.
The shoe-seum. Uh-huh. Why not?
Yep.
The shoe-seum. And then, let's say, everything's pretty much, I love art museums.
What's your perfect art museum like? Like, what do you get excited about?
Is there anything? I like the Met New York.
Yeah.
Just old school classic. I like LACMA. We go a lot to museums. I love, you know, when we were in Barcelona, we went to the Picasso Museum. And even though there's lots of his beautiful, we have some beautiful Picassos here. It was really nice to be in his museum in Barcelona and all that. So I like stuff like that. I like art. I like Renaissance art.
Mm-hmm.
And, so the shoe museum, I really like music, but that would be the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. But let's have a music museum.
Yeah, no, I can be totally different. Music museum. I also like the idea of like, I mean, I can't believe I'm about to say this because, yeah, I can't believe I'm going to say it. I'm going to say it loud and proud. I will say that in my category would be just like the stuff I like, but I would like to see what. It's almost like what would have been, like, what would women have been doing in the Impressionist period if they were allowed to more and there were more celebrated female painters and artists? Like, I'd love to see, like, the unseen, magical world of, like,
I was thinking
what of, never was or what you never got to see because it was happening and being thrown away.
I was thinking of that when you were saying that about painting. I was going to say a bad art museum, meaning the art that didn't make it, like the, which is still probably good.
Right.
But I like that.
Yeah, that's great. Well, that's great.
But let's make it a female artist museum.
Great.
Just female artists. So everything in the museum, and the museum is big. It's the size of the Met.
Yeah.
We have to fill those walls.
Yeah.
With women's stuff.
Yeah.
So go out there and find women's art and make a women's art museum.
Great.
That's good.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Love it. Okay. I've down to my final two categories. I will ask you for your... I did this with Ursula. Even though I love you, I feel like I asked her for crushes.
I know what's coming.
Yeah, I got to ask you for lady crushes from any period in time.
Oh, from any period in time? Yeah. Jacqueline Bisset.
Great.
Michelle Pfeiffer.
Great.
That's a woman, right?
Yes. You're safe.
I should be contemporary.
No, I think it's great.
Bring it up.
I'm just as interested in like what was, you know, who would be.
I like Princess Catherine.
All right.
That's pretty contemporary.
Pretty contemporary.
I brought it up to speed.
You really did. You really did. All right. I think final three are going to be ways that you can get around transportation that is unconventional.
I like Nicole Kidman.
No, we've moved on from that. You want to get around via Nicole Kidman because that seems potentially dangerous.
I have a good one.
I want her to give me piggyback rides everywhere.
I have a good one. That's my mode of transport. I didn't even think of that. No, don't you dare. and this might catch on.
Mm-hmm.
I should drink water.
Mm-hmm. Oh, the suspense is killing me.
I think you're going to like it.
Yeah.
I wonder how dangerous it could be. Can I get insured? Personal dirigible.
Oh, yeah. By little your own little hot air balloon? Or like a blimp?
No. Yeah, a blimp. A little bit larger than yourself, dirigible. But you lie down. You're strapped to it. You hang
That's
like
great.
This. You go around town. Right? With controls.
Fantastic.
A little fan.
It's a no-brainer.
Yeah, it's a no-brainer.
No-brainer. Okay, personal dirigible. Got it.
Personal dirigible. That's fun. You know, I electric moped. So we take care of the environment.
Great.
And I like moped. I think mopeds are cool.
Great.
And one more?
Yeah.
I'm going to say this one. This was what I wanted, how I want to, if possible, when I pass. When I pass away, I want my nephews, because Ursula's not going to do it. But I want my nephews. It's a hard call, because I don't want to be completely dead. But I want to be like almost on my death, but like, oh, he's going to die. We uh-huh. know he's going to die. Uh-huh. Have like, go to Malibu or something and have like a catapult and put me in a catapult. Fling me like into the ocean so I can enjoy like the flight in the air, like, oh, it's beautiful. But I want to be guaranteed to die when I crash into the ocean. I don't want to live like, oh, yeah. I'm still alive.
And your legs are broken and then the sharks start eating you and you're alive.
If I'm dead, but I want that for when I'm alive.
Great.
So catapult me around town.
Great. It's
and
great.
Then a net catches me.
Fling you into a net.
Like, hey, there I go. Yeah. There's La Brea Avenue. No traffic for me, thank you. And then land in a net and get off. And do whatever, and then get back on a catapult.
Oh, no. This is dangerously close to being the best MASH game we've ever had on this show.
But you can't... don't have a meal. I don't recommend.
No.
You just run your errands. Don't, have a meal.
Eat when you get there.
Yeah, eat when you get there.
You'll have a t-shirt
that says
eat when you get there.
And then take the dirigible back.
There you go. A nice, relaxing, digestive
float. There goes Oscar. Wow. You'll be walking around town, see people flying all over. They can't work.
That's amazing. God, I really hope you get that one. Okay, tell me when to stop.
From now?
Mm-hmm.
And stop.
Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
Now you do the math.
I got to do the math, guys.
Now I'm going to find out how long this really takes.
Yeah.
Because on the JV Club, it's instant.
What if it was 25 minutes?
I don't know.
I hope you got a real... do you have a book? Did you bring a book?
Oscar left, you guys. You come back by yourself. You're like, well, he's gone. He couldn't wait.
All right. Pausing. Some of what you... while I was doing the math, Oscar was distracting me by complaining about some of his choices, but also coming up with like good ways of linking them. And I have to tell you, some of it came true, but some of it didn't. It was funny because right as you said one thing, I was in the process of circling it. So it was interesting because you did get that. First of all, I want to let you know that I'm very, very happy about the fact that you are an angry dance instructor.
I love it. That makes everything worthwhile.
Yeah. So you get to yell at perfectly nice people. I'm excited to see your cane, your sweater around your neck. I can see it all right now. That feels like a character we need to develop for something, whether it's just in an improv show or not. That same snobbish dance instructor also happens to enjoy his mansion in Paris.
That's where I'll be yelling at them.
Your mansion in Paris.
Oh,
and
fantastic.
By the way, the French know how to get yelled at, and they know how to yell at people. So
I love that you gave me a mansion. I just wanted
that's MASH. Mansion, apartment, shack, house. Process of elimination. You ended up with a mansion.
Oh, fantastic. Really, oh, my God.
A mansion in Paris. Thank you very much. And the dance instructor. Does not surprise me that you're also a virtuoso at piano.
Oh, that's the one I wanted.
Those two kind of go hand
fantastic.
In hand. Because at some point you'll be like, no, it goes like this.
Ding, 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 ding,
yeah,
ding.
You're like,
oh my God, I date myself at this point.
You know what I mean?
Yes.
So there's that. Also not surprising, because you have a general issue with the unkemptness of people, of course you opened up the coiffeur's cart.
Ooh.
These are people who need help.
Oh my God.
You're making it possible for them.
I'll probably go bankrupt in Paris because they don't care what their hair looks
good
like.
Job.
But I'll make money in New York and Chicago if it catches
certainly.
On.
Very windy. The windy city?
The windy city.
People are going to be delighted that you're going to be able to clean them up. Side note, whenever you want it, on the spot, no muss, no fuss, paella. Delicious paella.
Lovely.
You also are responsible for and enjoy yourself the shoeseum.
Nice.
Also feels appropriate with the dance instructor.
Yeah.
It's all kind of coming together.
Yeah.
You ended up with the one and only Jacqueline Bisset.
Nice.
Circa whatever era you thought
you
she was most delightful.
You got it. The deep.
And the truth is, I hope that you will allow a lot of time to get where you're going because you do have a personal dirigible.
His and hers for Jacqueline and myself.
Just slowly floating along.
I love you, but we're late to all the events. We're late to everything, Jacqueline.
Yeah.
These people expect this of me. Why do I have a French accent?
Well, you've been living in Paris.
For a long time.
It's very affected. Oscar, this has been a long and bountiful podcast.
I feel like I just got started. I'm emotionally telling you my father and everything was awful.
I don't want you to feel like I cut you off.
Do you have tissue paper?
I do. Wait, paper. Is that what you use?
As opposed to tissue.
What I use to wipe my tears is the tissue that people wrap gifts in.
Oh, my God.
Anything else that you feel like you need to unpack?
No,
like
that was fine.
Very successful and delightful podcast.
I'm so happy to be the second male.
Oh my gosh, it means so much to me.
Thank you.
I love it. I adore you.
Right back at you.
When's the show that you just have been shooting? When does that air? Do you know?
2017.
Okay.
No, it's called Benched. And it will air, I believe, in January.
Okay.
I'm very happy to be there.
And it's Comedy Central?
Fantastic.
Or it's
no.
FX? What is it?
I don't know. I think it's...
You can't remember.
It's TBS or...
Bruce is going to listen to this. Your manager will listen to this. No. AMC?
AMC? I think it's AMC.
All right. Your manager is like rolling his eyes right now going, how can he not know
what it
is?
I don't know.
We'll do a follow-up.
It's called Benched.
People they can
positive it's called Benched.
That's good. All right, Ask. Thanks.
Yay.
Thanks, guys. I hope you're enjoying the Boys of Summer series. This is the part where I sing a tiny bit of Don Henley's song because I'm not going to play it at the end. But I suggested that I was going to do this in the Steve Agee episode. Now I feel like I want to do it.
Go ahead.
You got your hair thrown back and your wayfarers on, baby. I can tell you my love for you will still be strong after the Boys of Summer have gone. As always, the JV Club theme song is Back Before We Were Brittle by the amazing Say Hi.
Now leaving Nerdist.com.